from East Cheatham. We appreciate them so much, and we want them to know how much we appreciate and love them. Good to have the Reddicks with us. Appreciate them. They're good friends of mine. We've got some from Campbell Road, and I call them trouble and double trouble. But it's good to have Sister Mary and Sister Betty with us tonight. They're very near and dear to me. I want them to know how much I appreciate and love them. And good to have some for Merlinda with us tonight. If you take your Bible, if you'll turn with me to the book of Matthew in the 25th chapter, I want to read with you verse 41. Matthew 25 and verse 41. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I tell you, it's a very difficult task to try in our day and time to get people to understand that there is a hell fire. And it's difficult in our day and time to get people to understand that when this life is over, that if one is not in harmony with God's will, that that place will be a destination for many. That God has said that those who are not His children, His people, will be in a place of everlasting torment, a place of everlasting destruction. And in our day and time, I'm fearful we don't preach on that place as much as we should. However, one of the great joys of preaching is to show people that the Lord has done everything possible to save man from hell. And what I'd like to do for just a few moments our time is take a picture of Calvary. Because I'll tell you, when you take a picture of Calvary, you see the sinner's hell in review. What you see is the fact hell came to Calvary. And what you see with Jesus on the cross is a picture of what one will suffer in eternal torment. If you take your Bible this evening, turn with me to the book of Matthew and the 27th chapter. And in the book of Matthew in the 27th chapter, you can remember the words recorded by Matthew or in John 19, the both accounts, how Jesus suffered upon the cross of Calvary. And in your Bible, when you look in the book of Matthew and the 27th chapter, notice in verse 45, the divine record said, now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, this man is calling for Elijah. And immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a reed, and offered it him to drink. And the rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Can you imagine what Jesus was suffering while he was upon the cross of Calvary? One thing I think we miss in preaching is the agony of suffering. When Jesus was on the cross and what his body endured while he was hanging upon that tree. And we could tonight go through and look at all the medical things that would happen. But be sufficient tonight for us to remember one thing. That when Jesus was upon the cross of Calvary, He suffered. He went and endured the agony of suffering. When they took and they beat Him. When they had put the scourge to His back. Sometimes I wonder if we understand what is involved in a scourging. They called that the slow death. And many times when an individual was scourged, that would be enough to kill him. Many times they would bleed out. Many times the internal organs would be exposed. You didn't walk away from a scourging. You crawled. And I want you to think about that they scourged the Son of God. Then they took that Jesus and they laid him down upon a cross and they put the spikes into his body. And there they lowered the cross, and there was the Jesus, the Son of the living God, suffering. Have you ever thought of the agony of suffering? But then I want you to think about something else. When Jesus was on the cross, not only did he suffer physically, he also suffered the agony of shame. Open your Bible and look, if you will, in the book of John and the 19th chapter. And in the book of John and the 19th chapter, it says in verse 25, there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Now think about that Jesus is there and he has been ripped his clothes off and there he is being put to an open shame. And John said that there were people passing by in verse 30. They're looking at Jesus, they're mocking Jesus, but notice in verse 25, there's his mother there. There's the Son of God, the meekest man. There's the Son of God in humility, being put to an open shame as people mock at him and laugh at him. And there's his mother. And notice that Jesus tells John in verse 26, "Woman, behold your son." And then he says to Mary, "Behold," or says to John in verse 27, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. I've thought about those two things. I thought about Jesus on the cross and the agony of suffering. And I thought about Jesus being put to an open shame. And I thought of the agony of shame that Jesus endured. But then if you take your Bible, if you will look in the book of John and the 19th chapter, look if you will at verse 28. In verse 28, Jesus makes the statement, "I thirst." Here was one who was dehydrated. He had already been sweating in the Garden of Gethsemane, drops of blood. And now he'd been arrested, he'd been scourged, he'd lost a lot of blood, he's upon the cross. And dehydration has set in, and the Son of God asked for a drink. The Son of God said, "I thirst." But notice, instead of giving him water in verse 29, they take sour wine, and notice they fill a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth, and when he received the sour wine, he said, "It's finished." Can you imagine the thirst that Jesus had? Can you imagine the Son of God as he's hanging on that cross, and all he wants is some water, and they won't even give him water, they offer sour wine. I don't know if you've ever been thirsty, but I want you to understand the deep thirst Jesus had. And I want you to think of the agony of suffering. I want you to think of the agony of shame. And I want our hearts to be touched by the agony of thirst. But then if you take your Bible back in the book of Matthew in the 27th chapter, do you remember what it said in verse 45? In verse 45, it describes that at Calvary there was 3 hours of darkness. In your Bible, in the middle of the day, from the 6th hour until the 9th hour, from noon to 3 o'clock, the sun had been blotted out from the God of heaven. And I want you to put that in perspective. Here is Jesus, the Son of God, who is light. And yet, at this moment, light is taken away from man, and darkness fills the land because of the wicked deeds of mankind. They are putting to death the Son of God. And the God of heaven blots out the sun. Have you ever stopped to think about that Jesus was enduring this pain in darkness? But then if you take your Bible, look if you will in the book of Luke in the 23rd chapter. And I'll show you something else that Jesus endured. In your Bible in the book of Luke in the 23rd chapter, a statement that sometimes when I read I just can't comprehend. When it says in verse 34, as Jesus is hanging on that cross, he said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." You know what Jesus was suffering then? The agony of concern. Jesus looked down and he showed concern for the very ones who were putting them to death. And he cries out to the Father, "They don't know what they're doing." Now in the book of Acts in the 2nd chapter, when they repent of their sin, they're going to be able to be forgiven. But I want you to look at the Son of God on the cross, and he's concerned about the very people who have sought his life. But then if you take your Bible, look again in the book of Matthew in the 25th chapter, and look at something else Jesus suffered. And I recognize some of my brethren disagree with me on that point, but I'll tell you, I firmly believe in verse 46, that when Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was forsaken at that moment by the God of heaven. I believe for the only time in eternity, he was separated from his Father. And it's interesting to me, he had always called God Father for the most part. But at this moment, he doesn't say, my Father, he says, my God. And I know that someone will say, that's a quotation from Psalm 22, and that's exactly right. But that's a messianic psalm. And at this moment, The only time that He did not enjoy fellowship with the Father is when He's on the cross. Can you imagine that separation? Can you imagine being separated from God? And here He is, this enduring this agony, and He had never endured agony like this before, and no one has ever endured agony like that. I want you to get that picture of Calvary. Oh, I would that I had the ability to put that into people's hearts. I would that I could make every one of us feel what Jesus endured on the cross. If I could touch people's heart with the picture of Calvary. I don't have that ability. But I want to take something else. Open your Bible tonight and look in the book of Luke in the 16th chapter. And when you come to the book of Luke in the 16th chapter, after we considered what Jesus endured, look why He endured it. And when I come to the book of Luke in the 16th chapter, Jesus is talking about the rich man. And I realize some say it's a parable. You call it what you want to call it. It's spiritual truth. And in Luke 16, notice that Jesus begins to talk. And look at what He says about this rich man. The Bible says in verse 23, and being in torments. Notice the plurality of that. Being in torments in Hades, He lifted up His eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in His bosom. You know what He is enduring? The agony of suffering. He is enduring immense suffering because look at what He says in verse 24. Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Here is a rich man. Here was a man who had all the earthly goods he could desire, but now he's in hell and he is suffering. He is enduring the agony of suffering and he's going to be tormented day and night forever. Now what did Jesus suffer on the cross to save us? He suffered it also, didn't He? But then if you take your Bible, think about the shame this man felt. Here was a man who had plenty on earth, and now he's in want. And in fact, the business, you remember that the Lazarus had been begging at his gate. He wouldn't give him anything. But now if you take your Bible, look at verse 27, he's doing the begging. He says in verse 27, I beg you therefore, Father. Here was a man that is now humbled. Here is a man that is now being put to shame. And it's a shame and a disgrace that he had all these things on earth and now in hell he is begging. He has nothing. He went through the agony of suffering. He's gone through the agony of shame. But notice again in your Bible in the book of Luke in the 16th chapter. Look again at verse 24 what he wanted. He said, Father, send Lazarus, why? That he may dip the tip of his finger in water and what? Cool my tongue. You ever thought of the thirst? Now don't forget, what did we say that Jesus suffered on the cross? Did He not suffer the agony? Did He not also suffer agony of shame? Did He not also suffer the agony of thirst? Now this man in hell, understand, this man in hell cries to Father Abraham, let Lazarus come and dip his finger in water, cool my tongue. You talk about thirst. He would have given anything for just a touch of water on his tongue. But then if you take your Bible, look in the book of Matthew in the 8th chapter. And in the book of Matthew in the 8th chapter, notice if you will what Jesus had to say. In Matthew chapter 8 in verse 12, He said, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast into, watch it, outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know what is in eternal hell? Darkness. Because you're separated from light. God is light. God is life. God is love. But in hell, you have no light, no life, no love. You're separated from that. And so here is one who is in outer darkness. There's no light there. I'll tell you, hell is not an easy place to be. But go back to the book of Luke in the 16th chapter and notice something else. In Luke 16, notice what that rich man is enduring again. In your Bible in Luke 16, he asked in verse 27, I beg you therefore, Father, you would send Lazarus to my father's house. For I have five brothers that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Do you see what Jesus suffered on Calvary is what he's suffering in heaven? Here is the agony of concern. He's concerned about his five brothers. He's concerned that they are going to end up where he is. I don't know how many times I've had people come to me. And they'd say, "Preacher, my husband wasn't a member of the Church of Christ, and therefore I'm not going to be a member." Or I've had them say, "My loved one was never baptized, and if they weren't baptized, I'm not going to be baptized. I'm not going to condemn them." I'll tell you something, my friend. If a loved one's in hell, the last thing they want you to do is follow them. Because what did he say in the book of Luke in the 16th chapter? "I beg you, you go, send one from the dead. Tell them not to come to this place." I'll never forget. I had an aunt that was killed in an automobile accident. She'd been drinking, and the man she was drinking with hit a train and the car exploded. They pulled her from the car. The man burned to death. She died a couple days later. That night, she and my cousin had had a fight. And the last words my cousin had said to her mother was, "I hate you." When I went to do the funeral service, my cousin ran up to me and said, "You tell me where she's at. Tell me she's in heaven. Wherever she is, that's where I want to go." I'll tell you, that's what people think. I'm not the judge of where people go. That's God's business. But I will say this. You can't excuse your disobedience because of somebody else. Because this man would have done anything to keep his five brothers from being lost. And think of the agony of concern. Jesus, when he looked down from the cross, was concerned about the lost. This man in hell was concerned about the lost. And I'll tell you what's sad is, some people that are lost, they're more concerned about others that are in the same predicament they are than we who are saved are. But then think of something else. Think of the agony of separation. Open your Bible to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, when the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica, he says in verse 8, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, these shall be punished," watch it, "with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." When He comes again, if you're not one of His children, you've not been redeemed by the blood of Christ, you're going to suffer separation. Now, Jesus went to the cross so you wouldn't have to suffer that. But if you reject His sacrifice, you reject His love, you reject what He did for you, then, my friend, you're choosing to be separated from God. And what Jesus said is that when He comes again, you will be punished with everlasting destruction. You never will get another chance to come into the presence of God. In hell, you'll never say another prayer that will be heard by the God of heaven. In hell, you will be eternally separated. In Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15, He called that the second death. Death is separation. And eternal death is spiritual separation eternally from God. You want to talk about agony? Can you imagine wanting to pray and knowing it will never get to the ears of God? Can you imagine the pain of being separated from God? Jesus endured it on the cross so He will never leave us or forsake us. But if we leave and forsake Him, that's our choice. And if we go to hell, my friend, it's because we choose to disobey and disregard what He's done for us. Because what a sacrifice He gave to save a poor, pitiful person like me. I'm not worthy of salvation. I know what kind of a sinner I am. Can you imagine that God looked down at us? He looked at you. And He said, "That is someone worth dying for. I'll send my Son that my Son can take their sin." My youngest son has cystic fibrosis. And we take him to the hospital, and sometimes they'll do a procedure. And one time they had to run this tube up his nose. And I'll never forget, he's screaming and crying. And my wife is holding him and she's crying. And I'm over there doing the best I can not to cry. And I'm thinking to myself, "Lord, why don't you let me have it? I don't want to see my son suffer. I would rather suffer for my son. And any good parent would be that way. But you know what God saw when He looked at you? And He saw your sin. And He saw what you deserved. He said, put it on my son. Put it on him. And He put all the wrath of sin upon him. And what does Isaiah 53 say? By His stripes we are healed. He bore our iniquities. He bore our sin. Oh, I would I could touch the people's heart tonight to see what Jesus paid on the cross to save us from eternal hell. In your Bible, in the book of John, in the 6th chapter, when Jesus was talking to the people on that occasion, He makes a beautiful statement. He says in John chapter 6 and verse 37, all that the Father gives me who come to me, underscore that, and the ones who come to me, I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. When you look at the cross, what you see is Jesus suffering to save us from hell. You get a picture of hell at Calvary. But you get a picture of God's love. That He would allow His Son to die in your place. Can I ask you something in kindness and humility? Do you think we really deserve that? Do you think we deserve the divine, eternal Son dying for us? We don't. We're specks of dust with an eternal soul. But God in His mercy and love said, yes, you are worth it. And how we can walk away from that, I'll never know. How I can turn my back on that amazing love is beyond my comprehension. That is an amazing love of God. You know, I've had people mock me when preaching the cross. I'll tell you what. It's my only hope. I'll tell you what else. It's your only hope as well. And if you need to be baptized or restored, you look at the cross and you remember what Jesus was willing to do to save you from hell, and come, He'll not cast you out. Together we stand and sing, we invite you.